welcome to our next episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I'm your host, Jody Sweeten.
And I'm Celia Behar.
We did
it. You did it.
Yay! Usually.
That was pretty smooth.
Yeah, I'm shocked and surprised. It's because you weren't looking at me. I think we've determined that's the only way
I have to look down and look like Cousin It so that you could just put my hair in front of my face or like the girl from The Ring and you
just
no
eye contact. Right. Just no eye contact. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
So here we are.
I know.
Is this episode three? We've done our live show, our first
four.
One. Four.
Emily says, because we're stupid.
Yeah. That's why Emily's here. She keeps us on track with her. So Emily is here with her new favorite pen.
Mm-hmm. She's jiggling
I will
around.
Describe it for you. It is, I got it when I was working in Canada and I bought it for B, and it has like little red boa feathers on top of it and a Canadian maple leaf on a spring that wiggles around. And so she can't stop just waving it around, and it's her new favorite.
It's very cute.
Yep.
I want it.
So we have a guest today. You may know her from Dancing with the Stars. Her name is Kim Johnson. She is a wonderful friend, and we are so happy to have you here today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Absolutely.
During this craziness.
Yes.
Buckle up.
You got me scared, guys.
I know.
Yeah.
No.
It's better if we do that, though, and then if it's like really smooth, then they're like, that wasn't that bad.
It's
like,
never
you know,
really smooth.
I know.
Just like parenting. You have great ideas about it, and it's never what you think it's going to be.
No, it's not.
But Kim, why don't you give us your mom stats as far as your little ones?
Yeah, well, I have, they're 1.5, nearly 2, actually. They're 22-month-old twins, Hudson and Haven.
Wow.
Oof.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm sort of in the thick of it. With
yeah,
them,
you are.
You know?
I think with twins, you're probably always in the thick
probably.
Of it.
Yeah. But it's so funny because like everyone says, oh, you know, it gets easier. And I'd get through one stage and be like, oh my God, I've got this. Like I'm nailing this parent thing. Mm-hmm. And then another stage happens.
Right.
So I feel like that must just be a constant thing.
Yes.
I mean, like I have a 13-year-old. I'm not nailing this parent
thing. Right. Well, I will tell you, I've started telling people that this is what parenting is. It's constantly thinking that once you get to the next stage, it's going to get easier. And all it is just the thing that you're worrying about in that moment gets easier, but then there's a whole other thing that you now have to worry about. And
I'm realizing, my mom
always tells me, you know, bigger kids, bigger problems.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, right. Ugh. Yeah. When they're like 13, you're like, I wish it was just teething.
Yeah. Although teething was bad.
Mine were pretty easy with the teething. Are yours?
She's getting the two-year molars coming in. So she's kind of doing the terrible two tantrums, like throwing herself on the ground business already.
Right.
And she's not even two.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking, oh my goodness. My little boy, he wants to like cuddle her and hug her, but he's bigger. So he'll like get her in a headlock and then she'll bite him.
So we're going through that kind of stage.
I think Kim is our first twin? She's our first multiple mama.
I wanted twins so bad. And I said that to somebody who had twins. And he was like, why, do you just never want to sleep again? I was like, oh, is that a thing? And he was like, oh, yeah, no, you're like never sleep again.
The first 3 months, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Like, because you just...
Because like one will go down and the other wakes up? Or?
Well, actually, the first year was really tough. Like everyone would say, the first 3 months are really hard. And then my doctor who delivered the baby said, it's the first year that's really tough. And he was right. Like they didn't really start sleeping properly until they were about a year.
Yeah.
So the first year is a blur, really. Just that whole...
And I feel like, too, what I've heard with twins is that it's, you know, like you get one kind of or something and then they cry or something. And then now you've got two crying.
Yes.
Whereas like, you know, when you're just dealing with a single, it's kind of like, okay, they can settle themselves back down or whatever. But now maybe one's settling themselves back down. But now they've woken the other one up or, you know.
But no, I look at my friends also that have, you know, kids like 3 year, 2 year age difference. And I almost feel like that would be harder in a way because if you've got a toddler and then a newborn, like, I don't even know how you would do that.
Mine were two and a half years apart.
It was
toddlers and then, you know, just new sibling and attention and all of that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, it was difficult.
It all has its challenges. Doesn't it?
Like, and there's the thing, you know, yours are farther apart.
Yeah, Harper is almost 5 years older than Lulu is. And so when Lulu came, like, Harper was never really jealous. She wanted a sister so bad.
Yeah.
And she was such a good helper. So I love that. But I see it's more and more of like an age difference because she's 13 and Lulu's 8. So she's kind of like, oh, God, you right. don't even know. Like, get out. You know?
Well, yeah, but I
talk
mean,
about it.
Mine are 2.5 years apart and we still have that going on.
Yeah.
And
right. So it might just be sisters in general.
When they get older, that'll be, you know, that age difference
right,
is nothing.
Right. Well, that's you know. But my younger sister and I were 2.5 years apart. Yeah. Julie and I are 2.5. And she was my best friend. So like that, you know. That does change for sure. And my older sister is 5 years older and we were never close or still never close.
Yeah.
But that also might be because she's really an Orthodox Jew and kind of doesn't love my entire tattooed body. I don't know. That could be it. You know.
I mean, there's probably, that's probably cursing, one thing on the list other, of things
really?
That
you
she doesn't love.
It's possible.
Right.
Whatever. It's
yeah.
fine.
No. I love you though, Celia. That's okay.
You sometimes
no,
you
you're
do.
Tattooed. Aww. Oh, so I'm sure sometimes I want to punch you in the face. That's just,
I mean, earlier today.
Like sisters.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that right. is true. That,
yeah, no.
That is certainly how we've become. And then our kids have now become a lot like siblings too.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other
that's
dynamic.
So nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh, and they fight like siblings though. Like they'll come right. over here and they're all like screaming at each other. And we're like, oh my God.
And they storm off and then they right. gang up on each other.
Just sit there and have a glass of wine and let it unfold.
Well, she can't do that.
I don't
that.
Yeah, I don't drink. I just sit there now. And I'm like, we just kind of look at each other like, have we given up tonight? We've given. Let's just eat more Chinese food.
Yeah, that's you. Or we go hide in a room and they're like yelling for us. And we're like
no, we're not here.
No, no way, buddy.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
They
wow.
can handle it.
Yeah.
See, and so at some point, the twins will be able to handle it as well. I mean, so do you have you had to say any bizarre thing to either of the, and even
do you
if
have a
never,
thought, never thought, I'd thought I'd say this moment? This?
I never thought I'd say what I said to my husband when we actually came home from the hospital. Mm-hmm. He was amazing when I was in the hospital. He stayed with me the whole time. He was great getting up with me. And then we drove home from Cedar Sinai is where we had the babies. We're driving home. My mum was with us too, thank goodness. We get home, we get in the door, and Robert's like, okay, so you guys got this? I'm going to go have a massage. Oh, I was like, I'm actually going to kill you.
Is he still alive?
Two babies.
Right, yeah.
Okay. I just was so shocked.
Like, I'll give you a massage. It'll be mostly right around your neck. Right, yeah. It's very tight. It's going to be a lot of pressure points. You're going to feel like you're dying, but you are.
That's okay.
Right?
Perfect.
Yeah. So that was, I won't forget that moment.
Wow.
You know, you walk in the door, you just, you don't know, nobody can prepare you for that.
Right.
No.
Of when, because you feel like in hospital, you kind of, you're getting it and stuff.
Right.
And then you walk in your door, your whole life has changed. You've now got
right.
these two
You walked
babies.
Out of the door.
Yes.
I remember,
without that. And
I
you
left
in,
the hospital
like,
thinking, wait, is all right. Well, are they going to stop me? Like,
I know. I can't believe they let me take them home.
Like, what am I doing? I don't even understand.
I know.
It was crazy.
And
then
I just remember looking at the newborn in the car seat and going, this cannot possibly be correct.
Because
it was. But they're so like little in this car. And no matter the newborn car seat, you're like, and you're not supposed to stuff things around, you know. So you're just looking at them like, oh my God, I feel like I've put a very small potato in a very large
yes.
bag.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that's just sort of what it looks
and
like.
And the hat's like coming down over their head.
Right.
Like, can you even breathe? I don't even know.
Terrifying.
I sat in the back seat on the way home. And then I remember thinking like, well, what are they going to make cars that drive themselves? Because clearly I'm never going to be able to not sit in the back seat with this baby because what if she stops breathing and I'm in front
of
her?
I know.
And I can't see them because they're facing the other way. Wait,
right. Exactly.
No, it was a disaster.
The panic.
Yeah.
No. And I remember my dog as well, because my husband had taken, I think, their beanie the night before back to have
my dog
sniff and stuff. But my dog was my baby. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah.
I walk in and my dog just looks at me, and I was just looked at my dog and I'm like, yeah, things are going to be really different now, Lola.
Right.
Yeah.
And she just like took off and I'm just there and Robert takes off for his massage and then the babies start crying and I'm just like, oh my God, like, I guess I just stick them on the boob.
Yep. Right, yeah.
You know,
that was my answer to everything.
And then they weren't latching properly. And I was just like, I think I started crying.
Oh,
like,
I'm
it
sure.
wasn't the moat. Like,
yeah.
it wasn't what you think it's going to be.
No.
When you, everyone's like, oh, it's, the, you know, so amazing and stuff. But it was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so. Breastfeeding, too, is just, it's
awful.
So difficult. And I was talking recently to a friend of mine, and she had a baby, and she wasn't able to really produce enough milk. And so, you know, that was another thing. Like, I think there's so many moms out there that feel like that's a failure or they're so like, you have to breastfeed, you have to breastfeed. And, you know, I know for me, like I tried it and I was like, this is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I want to throw the child. Yeah. Back. Like, I want to, I don't like this at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
And so then that's another layer of like mom guilt and shame.
Exactly. And it's like you're a mom for like a matter of days and you're already feeling all these things.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough.
I nursed both my kids and I hated it. Mm-hmm. And then people will be, and I was honest about it. So people would be like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
It's like the most natural thing. I loved nursing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I'm like, why don't you love it? I was like, because I fucking don't.
Because it hurts. Because it hurts.
So, Jody.
Yes.
I have started eating differently and eating more for energy and not about, you know, trying to lose weight or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the ideal way to eat is like feed your body good food.
Agreed.
And, you know, put in good stuff, you know.
Well, and I just kind of noticed that my skin looks better.
Yeah.
When I eat better things and, you know, absolutely. And I feel better and my hair is nice and shiny. I feel like I'm talking about a dog, but still, I'm talking about myself and it's all true. And you know, Noom has completely helped me do all of that.
Yeah, you know, I actually have been using it. I like it.
It's great.
And I got a gym membership. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I feel like those things in combination, you know, you can start getting on a good routine.
It's so true. And you know, I really like it because I can make whatever choices I need to make when I'm out in the world and being social without worrying if I'm going to mess up my diet because I'm not on a diet with Noom.
Right.
I'm just being cautious about what I eat. I've changed my habits and I log my food, but not because I'm worried about calories, just because I want to see that I've hit all of the goals that I want. I want to get protein. I want to have some fruit, some vegetables, some grains, and it's super flexible. So whenever I miss a day, it's okay. I can just go back the next day and make sure that I get it in then. No big deal.
And the key is that it's not a diet because diets don't work. It's really about changing the quality and what kind of food you put in your body. And that's a great way to keep track of it.
Right. No food is good or bad or off limits. Noom teaches moderation and that can be used in conjunction with so many other things, which is great. You know, if you've got another diet that you really like, then you can still use Noom, which I also think is really awesome because it just makes it so that lots of people can invest in that.
Yeah.
It has the most accurate food database that, you know, tracks all of my meals.
It does. It has so many things in there.
I know. Trader Joe's, yeah. I can just pop that in there and I find out how many calories I had from, you know, their yogurt, which I eat a lot of because it's got lots of good things in it. Plus, if you're strapped for time, you know, Noom is honestly, it's a 10-minute commitment for the day. That's it. And when you're human and you go off track like I do, there's no shaming, which I just love. I don't need someone making me feel bad when I didn't eat the way that I should have. I can go back and eat the best I can the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
So all of you should absolutely try Noom.
If you're human or if you're not human.
Or if you're not like me, apparently. I did say I was more like a dog today, so whatever, it's fine. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, that's Noom.com/say this. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/say this to start your trial today. Again, that's Noom, Noom.com/say this. My mother-in-law at the time, before she was like, you have to nurse. Like, we called her the nursing Nazi.
Right.
As a Jew, you know, not the nicest thing to say, but still. And we were like, seriously, like, calm down. She's like, you have to nurse. And I was like, well, doesn't it like hurt your nipples? Because I keep hearing it hurts your nipples. And she was like, well, you can toughen your nipples up before you have a baby. And I was like,
oh, I haven't heard that one.
I said, with what? Like a Brillo pad?
Yeah.
Like, and she was just like, well,
just,
I mean.
Right. Just stick them in a, you know, one of those things that like a neat mushing thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Like, oh, a vise. Right.
Just stick them in a vise. Repeatedly squeeze, pinch.
My mother-in-law's advice to me was.
Sandpaper?
No. Why don't you just have her son, my husband at the time, suck on them a lot.
You see, oh my God.
Get serious.
Oh my
God. I really hope she listens to this.
Oh, that is so.
Not appropriate.
I'm so uncomfortable.
You are. Like, I was.
That is so that funny.
And then people are like, when later on, when people were like, what do you mean? Why didn't you like your mother-in-law? I'm like, one of us.
That is hysterical.
Yep, that's what she said. Right. I was like, you know, I'm going to pass.
Right. Okay. Oh, like, yeah, Matt, I'm
like, and you just ruined right every, I hope you didn't want another kid. Oh, like, my right, gosh. Because we're not going to ever have sex again.
That is so funny.
You're supposed to, like, chew on it like a squirrel.
I do.
Oh, I've got that visual in my head now.
Oh, awesome.
You're welcome.
What did you once? Now my vagina wants to throw up. And I'm taking that from you. And just, oh my God, why did you need to give me that image?
Right, yeah. Thanks. No, sometimes there are people that you look at that you've, you know, been with in the past. And you go, my vagina wants to throw up.
A little bit.
Bleh.
Just, oh my God. And we've gone off the rails. Yeah. And Emily's writing down title ideas. Yeah. And I don't know what it is, but it's not good.
As we go through our show, we always see Emily frantically writing. Usually when we say something really terrible, right. And we're like, and then we get to the end and she's like, okay, so I've got some title suggestions.
That's so funny.
My vagina wants to throw up.
Right, yeah.
Oh my God.
That's going to be in there. Yep. Welcome to our show, Kim.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So yes, nursing is hard. The nursing thing was hard.
With the two as well, actually, I'm good friends with Jane Seymour. You know Jane
Seymour? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She has twins.
Yes.
So she was telling me, I saw her at an event and I was like really heavily pregnant. And she said, that's the hardest thing, the nursing thing. And she said, for sleep, because you're going to have to try and get some. Try and do them at once, you know, together. Right. And I'm just tandem. Like, oh, my God, how am I even going to do that? So she suggested buying this pillow, doing the football style.
Yeah. Yeah, the boppy thing.
Yeah, I have like, you know, one under one arm, one under the other, and try and have them nurse at the same time.
Right.
And I remember the first time I did it and they were both, you know, nursing at the same time. It was like the best feeling ever.
You're like, I'm a rock star.
And then you understand why women post pictures of themselves nursing. You don't know how hard it is.
You feel like a super.
Right.
Yeah.
You feel like a hero,
you know, a cow at the same
time. You do,
time.
Yes.
Like, you're just like, I just remember one of the biggest freakouts I ever had was realizing, like, my youngest or my oldest daughter, she would nurse like every 45 minutes. And I was like, I'm never going to be able to leave the house again in my life.
You do. You feel that way, don't you?
I was like, I'm just completely tethered and I can't stand it. And I just like lost my shit completely.
Yeah. I think I may have mentioned this on the show before that I pumped.
Yeah.
And I tried, like, you know, nursing for a while, but then I pumped and I remember just the exhaustion and I would have the pump on in the middle of the night and mine would talk to me.
Yeah, they all talk to me.
And they all, the sleep deprivation.
Yes.
And you're, like, saying things to me. Yeah, that's, I think every new mom can relate to that. You're like,
the pattern of that pump sound.
Uh-huh. I remember pumping, watching the royal wedding, Harry and Meghan.
Oh.
I was three in the morning.
I'm just as glamorous right now.
I felt like putting a little, you know, hat on.
A little fascinator.
A little fascinator while I was
pumping.
You should
put them on your boobs.
Right. Just small little hats.
Spoonators. We can make those. We can make them. Just so funny.
Yeah. I think those are called pasties.
Yeah.
See, but we can class it up a little. Because that's what we're known for. Classic stuff up.
Yeah. Pasties with feathers. It's great.
Perfect. I like that a lot. It's like Emily's pen.
Exactly. Just little boas.
Exactly. I just think the pressure for... Listen, if you can nurse, awesome. If you can't, awesome.
It does, yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, but so much of motherhood and I'm a therapist. I know that's terrifying, but it's true. so many of the moms I work with, what we end up talking about is just that, like, first of all, that 2 weeks where you don't want to tell anybody that you think you maybe made the worst mistake of your life by having a kid, because you're like, this can't possibly be how it is for everybody else. And I clearly just ruined my life.
Yeah. Right?
But I can't say that because then I'm a shitty mom. Yeah. So I'm just going to cry in a corner and, you know, have vomit in my hair.
Yeah.
And then that feeling
that was
where...
what I did on Friday. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, and then that feeling of like, how in the world am I supposed to be every role for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as I don't think there's anything else in the world that's as hard as being a mom, because it's like, you know, everyone's like, you can't be sexy anymore, but you also still have to be sexy because you want to make sure that you can please your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have to be a perfect mom and you have to keep the house clean and you have to make sure the kids are fine and you have to do the grocery shopping and you have to work and if you work, you're terrible. But if you don't work, you're lazy. Like, what the fuck? You can't win no matter what
you do. It's so true. I'm really struggling with that right now, just like getting back into work and being a mom, having that guilt of like leaving and then being there for my husband because, you know, he still wants some time just with me.
Right.
But I don't want to leave the kids. Like, so it's like such a constant struggle, I feel.
Yeah, it is.
To be and you know, I think, and we talk about this all the time, that like the one person that gets forgotten is us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Dads will come home from the hospital and be like, okay, great. Glad you got it. I'm going to go get a massage. Yeah. Right. Like, you know, as moms, we rarely give ourselves that permission. And, right. and, you know, one of the things that I think we're dealing with a lot right now with our older daughters in particular is body image stuff. And I know, I mean, I can only imagine like being a dancer and then going from that to having twins.
Yes.
I can only imagine what that shift must have been like and like how.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like the whole, yeah, for myself, right. like after, you know, being a dancer, my body's always been my tool, really.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the whole pregnancy I loved. I love my body changing. It was just like the most incredible thing. Like our female body is unbelievable.
Oh, what
you can do. But then, yeah, after you had I had the twins, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I am never going to look the same ever again.
Right.
It is really, that's really
it's
hard.
It's so hard. I mean, it my is. Husband's amazing and he's always just like, you know, saying how beautiful I look and even I just felt like
by the way, she looks amazing. But seriously, like you do, but you know.
But yeah, you're right. It's so hard, this whole body image thing. And I really had to sort of let go of me wanting to try and like get my body back straight away. And it was a little difficult, I have to say.
Yeah, it's very difficult, I think.
But now, I mean, I think that's something we all struggle with, but particularly when you're, you know, in an industry like either as an actor or as a dancer or something where your body is your tool and that's sort of, and particularly when like that's what you've been known for is being like fit and fit, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm just trying to raise two people. Like, I literally just ejected two humans out of my body. Please have a little break. Time.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of our own worst enemies, but so trying to explain that also this whole process of particularly for girls, but I was, you know, I got into a conversation with Zoe last night because, you know, this age is rough. Middle school is hard. Yeah. And trying to explain to her, you know, she was just saying, she's like, I just don't, like, everything feels awful. Like, everything, my body, my mind, like, I just don't feel great. And trying to explain, like, that's
great she can talk to you about
that, I was so proud of her. And, you know, and it's so heartbreaking because as much as you can say, like, I understand, like, I still feel that way sometimes, but I remember 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and I remember what that experience was like, of just being like, I don't feel at home in my body. And I think that happens during puberty. I think it happens during pregnancy. It happens postpartum. Yeah. You know,
it happens your whole life, I think, as a girl. And but when you start to see it, and I think it's happening earlier and earlier to girls now because of social media. So it's not just the, like, I don't feel good in my own body. And, like, you know, I would compare myself to, you know, the most popular girl in school, Dana Strong. Like, you know, I was like, I'm never going to look like Dana Strong, blonde hair, blue-eyed dancer. Now I can compare myself to everybody in the world on Instagram and be like, I'm never going to look like that person. Mm-hmm. And so can our kids. And so it's not just that they're like, you know, looking at their friends and they're like, they're so beautiful and they're, you know, that one's taller or that one got her period and I haven't and all that stuff can happen. Mm-hmm. They're online and they see it online and they see it on TV. And your post the other day, yesterday when you posted?
It was yesterday. I posted something on my social media yesterday.
I made both my kids read it.
It was a thing and it was like all these little drawings of like different, you know, and one was tall and one was short and one was this and one was, you know, and they were all like, I wish I was skinny. And then the skinny one was like, I wish I had curves. And the curvy one was, you know, like, I wish my boobs were bigger. Or I wish I didn't have such a big butt, or I wish I had more of a butt, or I had, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I posted that in particular yesterday. Yesterday was Oscar Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how hard it is for young women, even any woman, or, you know, to watch this parade of seeming perfection go down and that's, you know, what we idolize. And I posted it because I was like, even the people on the carpet feel that way. Like, we all feel
absolutely,
you know, insecure. And I, one of the things that I really drill home to my daughters is that I always tell them, I go, look, you get one body this lifetime. Like, that's it. So you need to learn how to make peace with that body, whatever it is, and the sooner the better, because it's, you know, and if you know, you get old enough and you want to do stuff to great, tattoo it, pierce it, change it, whatever.
I saw that guy come at you.
Right. And I was like, I didn't say that you can't do that.
You can't
That's fine.
It.
Yeah.
But the whole, you know, the whole comparison thing and, you know, having a boy and a girl, it's going to be, I think it'll be really interesting to have that journey happen with twins at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and to see what, because I was telling Zoe last night too, I said, she was like, boys don't have to do this. I was like, yes, they do.
They do.
I said, and don't, to trust me, if you don't think that all the sixth grade boys who are currently shorter than almost all of the sixth grade girls right now, if you don't think they feel insecure about that, you're wrong.
That's why they're mean.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
They feel insecure.
Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah,
that's
exactly
what it is. Even mean girls. I mean, that's something that, you know, I've had to talk to my daughter about, where I'm like, they're mean because they're also insecure.
Secure, exactly.
Like, right. You think that they're secure, but they're not.
Yeah. Just
everybody's kind of a shit show right,
right.
now.
Yeah.
So it's sad. I'm waiting.
But waiting for what?
Oh, you know what I'm waiting for.
Waiting for... It's the love books, isn't
That's right. It is the love books. Have you made me one?
No. But I've gotten one.
That's great.
I love love books.
I'm so happy for you. I have not gotten one, and I definitely haven't gotten one from you. And you know what? Love books helps customers express the sentiments that they may have difficulty saying out loud, which clearly you do, although apparently you also have a problem and difficulty making me a love book.
Okay, okay, okay.
Because if you were to make me one, you could make each of us completely customizable with the kids, by the way.
Oh.
We could all be in the book. The kids, you, me, we could all have the same outfits on, be all matchy-patchy with this, like, cool accessories. I said cool and sounded like a dork, but it's fine. Listen, you haven't done it for me. I don't really know why. You could.
You're right. You're right. I will. I feel like now there's such expectation. Like, I have to wait.
You definitely don't have to wait. You can go online and do it, and you can personalize each page as much as you want just to express your love for me. And it only takes a few clicks. Also, perfect gift for Valentine's Day, birthdays,
best friend's day.
If there is such a thing, and if there isn't, make one up and make me a love book. Could you?
Okay.
Okay. Well, when you do, you could also use their membership program and you'll save immediately on your purchase today and also receive 50% off of any future purchases.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Yeah, today. Did you hear me? Today, Jody.
I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you.
Just so you know, Love Book, it's not for yourself. It's always a gift. It's ideal for that special someone that really deserves a meaningful present, like me.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have it?
Yes, I'm clear.
Okay, great.
Where do I go?
You go to lovebookonline.com/say this to receive a special 20% off discount only for our listeners. Again, visit lovebookonline.com/say this to receive a special 20% off discount only for our listeners. I don't know what you're waiting for now. You should be going online.
Can you stop staring at me like that, please?
I'll try.
I mean, how old were you when you started dancing?
Oh, yeah.
I was 3.
Oh, wow.
Like, I've been dancing as long as I can remember.
And you're not from here, obviously.
From around these parts. Yeah,
not from around, no. Parts. No. Yeah. I've been here for 13 years. But
okay.
I haven't lost my accent.
Hope you never do.
Right. I feel like that's probably not going to happen at this point.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
I hate to break it to you.
It's actually funny, my especially my daughter,
right,
because she's around myself and my mum all the time during the day. She says no, like with an Australian accent.
Oh, with it, right.
It is the funniest thing. She's like, no.
Oh, I love it.
That's
I
so
love Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've got,
see,
but that'll,
you,
that'll
we've
go. Got,
we've had this conversation before
I know,
about
I
your
just like to say it whenever
fondness.
I possibly can.
Well, there we go.
Wait, where in Australia? Just because I'm
curious. I'm from Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah. So I grew up in Sydney.
Was it like? I mean, for you going through that period of your life, I think that's like, I can't imagine.
I was always, you know, very, my uncle and my auntie, they lived just down the road,
uh-huh,
and they had a house with a vegetable patch and a big garden and
right
stuff. So my childhood, mm-hmm, I remember going over there all the time. They used to look after us a lot. And we'd always go and pick beans and carrots from the garden. And, you know, I was always had a very healthy,
right,
you know, idea of food, I guess.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like stick thin.
Mm.
I was like a little on the chubbier side, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always the smaller one,
mm-hmm,
in dancing. So I was sometimes put with the younger kids. So that was, I used to hate that. Like, I'd go home and cry because I'd be put down an
a
age
level
group because I looked younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess when I hit 13, I just shot up And right. I everything just, you know, leaned out and I got quite thin and
right.
and tall. But I used to get picked on too. I mean, I had really big boobs
uh-huh.
when I was like 14 or something, but I was very thin.
Right.
So I'd get picked on at school.
And isn't it amazing?
Because they're jealous.
Well, but that's the
thing. But then, like, yeah, now you look back and you think,
right.
You
and,
know.
And that's the, you know, I'm dealing with daughters right now. Like, it's so trying to explain, like, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah. you know,
you're going
to
get picked on.
You gorgeous dancer, tall, right. thin, big boobs.
Mm-hmm. You still get picked on.
Yeah,
exactly. So it really doesn't matter, you know.
Right.
Actually, story with my niece. She was only like 5, I think. They came over to visit uh-huh. and we went out to dinner and I was with my friend and she's a bigger girl.
Right.
And I think my niece was 7. She was at school but young.
Right.
And we're there and they were getting on like a house on fire. And when we're leaving, she just looked at it out of the window. She goes, "You're overweight," or something. Oh. I nearly died. I was so shocked. But I guess she had heard that at school.
Right.
And then, you know, we spoke to her afterwards and it turned out people had been picking on her. And I think she related to my friend. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like she'd never really spoken about it.
Right.
So it just... And it was just funny the way it came out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think she could identify with her. And maybe kids have been saying that to her at school, you're right. overweight or you're fat kind of thing. So that was like an interesting moment of being an auntie having to talk to her about weight such a young age.
Yeah, but I feel like I had to start around that age with my older daughter too. Yeah. And actually I'm curious because I never thought to ask this of anyone, but like do you feel that since you've been here, have you noticed that weight and talking about it and body image is more of an issue than in Australia growing up?
No, it's the same. Mm. Yeah, it's the same in Australia.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's like, it just seems that it becomes every year that women take all these, you know, moves forward to be like, we're not just our weight and being more body positive. And thank God for people like, you know, Lizzo and right. who mm-hmm. stand up and are like, this is my body and this is who I am.
Yeah.
It's like, but then there's just 5 steps backward.
Yeah.
Of, you know, altering things on, you know, and making people smaller. And I mean, just, I don't even know how to win it anymore.
I think it was a lot easier when we grew up without all the social media.
Yeah,
and
we
stuff.
Talk like, about of course, that all yeah. the time.
You know, when now it's just like, I mean,
it's hard for me. Like, yeah, right. I mean, I'm, you know, 46 and I like look at things and I'm right. like, I still to this day, I'm like, man, I wish I had boobs.
Yeah.
You know, like, cause I'm still waiting
I
for
actually
mine.
Used you.
Please, I hope you did.
I did. Well, I yeah. use you all the time.
I know.
But no, I.
yeah, that's you.
yeah, yeah, such uh-huh. a user. Uh-huh. No, but I was talking about you last night and about like different bodies and different, right. You know, and all of these kinds of things because Zoe was, you know, talking about like why all of the different things that she thinks are supposed to be how you look. And I was like, I said, women come in all different yeah. shapes and sizes, mm-hmm. You know, and the shape and size that you are right now at, you know, 11, 12, 13 is probably not going to be the size and shape and, you know, whatever that you are when you're 20.
Yeah.
Unless you're me. And then actually you kind of do stay
but
the same.
That, but what I said was, I said sometimes like you just kind of like get to a size of your boobs or whatever.
Yeah.
I said, look at Celia's. Celia's doesn't have.
Please. I
love you. I said you. This is my. I said, but look at Celia. She doesn't have. I said, but
no
she's
yeah.
gorgeous. And she was like, yeah, she is really pretty. I said, exactly.
Yeah.
I
well,
said you. And that was part of my post yesterday was I was saying that, you know, perfection there. And I think we're talking about it more because of people like Lizzo and because mm-hmm. of social media and because of things like this, you know, growing up with that there is, you know, perfection isn't a size, but what an interesting thing that your little niece said to, you know, you're overweight because what they're talking about more. Mm-hmm. Well, but what they're talking about more now is that size actually is not a determining factor mm-hmm. of health. So mm-hmm. All of this time we, you know, how fat shaming and all
yeah.
this stuff
yeah.
like, oh, well they're bigger. So they must, you know, their BMI. And now they're finding that like BMI is just bullshit. Like
yeah.
it's not, you know, cause, and I have done that too. Cause I am, not as, you know, I weigh more than I quote unquote think I should sometimes. Right. But then I look at it and I'm like, it was all based on like BMI. And then I read this whole thing that was like, BMI is, it's not, some people have more muscle. Some people have more this. Some,
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I hate weighing myself.
Right, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Because when I compare, and I am Gil David too, when I compare certain things, I think it should be different. You know, when I compare a certain number or whatever, But, you know, it is so apparent in a 5 or a 7 year old little girl who looks at that and thinks like there's something wrong.
Exactly.
With you must be overweight.
So I don't know where she'd like, she must have
because
heard
people,
that from
they,
school.
Because everybody talks about it all the time, I guess, at this point, you know, and then it will then become boobs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I will say that, like, you know, my whole life I wanted boobs so bad, like all through my teen years. And I mean, it wasn't until I got to college at some point, like I remember in college being like, oh, I'm just never going to get them. Like, you know, I can give up on waiting. Like they're actually just,
exercises on a camp, like, you know, I
ate carrots, like, you name it, I tried a padded bra, didn't matter. But I will also say that, first of all, because I want them so bad, my posture was really terrible as a kid because I would slouch to hide that, and I gave myself, like, you know, problems with
girls
my back.
With big boobs do the same thing.
I know, you try to hide it. And, like, it's like, why are we so ashamed?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I will say, and I won't say which friend this is, but as I got older, when I hit, you know, 30-something, and one of my friends who has really big boobs, and I was always really jealous of her, and I was pregnant with my first daughter, and she was over, like, visiting me, and she was, like, in the other room, and she goes, you know how you've always been so jealous of my boobs? And I was like, yeah, I'm brushing my teeth. And she goes, look up. She's behind me. And she has her shirt off and she has tucked her boobs into her pants.
Oh my gosh.
And she's doing a dance behind me, like shimmying. And I was like, oh my God. And she was like, that's not going to happen to you.
Right.
And so I actually use that with my girls because they're always like, I hope I have boobs. I'm like, good luck.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like, look at me.
I hope you can tuck them into your pants.
Yeah, like you don't know. It's so weird.
I remember I was probably 17 or something and I said to my mom, I want to get my boobs reduced because I was really quite thin, but my I just looked,
and as a dancer too, that can be really prohibitive.
I was like, more into ballet, but I was told you're never going to be a ballerina. May as well go to the Moulin Rouge. You're a showgirl, you know.
Ah.
And yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My dance teacher would say you're not going to be a ballerina. And I said I want to get my boobs reduced because I would get picked on so much. And
at 17
or something, yeah. And my mum was like, just wait, you're going to grow into your boobs. You know? And I did. I ended up then obviously, you know, getting curves. And it's all proportion now. But I'm glad I didn't rush into something. But I was like, seriously, like, I really need to do something about this.
You know how I threw up my back?
Yeah.
You want to know what I did the entire time I was laid up?
What? I think I have my suspicions, but what did you do?
I played Best Fiends.
Of course you did.
Yep, I did. Because you know what? I've been playing it so long that it's gotten more challenging and more fun, and so I've had to come up with these different strategies. I am also obsessed with Howie. That's my favorite character in it.
Okay.
Yeah, Howie's rad. And I mean, honestly... and it just kind of like makes me want to play more when I can't solve the puzzle.
Right.
And
you're like, I will win.
Oh, I'm going to win. It might take me 3 hours, but I will get to the next level.
Right.
And I love it. So now I've gotten a couple other friends hooked on it and I'm certainly doing better than everybody, but perhaps that's because I was playing it for 3 days in a row when I couldn't move. It's
well,
possible.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. I think everyone should play it though. It's really fun and it's really relaxing when you just need some downtime. It's a unique and exciting puzzle experience, unlike any other puzzle games out there. It updates the game monthly with new levels and events so it never ever gets old. And you will find yourself playing in random places like the subway or a plane.
Oh, for sure. Doctor's office.
On your back on a bolster because you can't move because you threw your back out.
That too.
Yeah, it totally works out. And they also have these fun challenges every month that are, you know, got different themes and it's just fun. Everyone should try it. And if you want to try it, then you can. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline. With over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
What are the conversations that you are most dreading having with your because you they're only 22 months now.
Right. So
like,
I know.
I feel like and a boy was, and a girl.
Right. But I feel like that was sort of the age I started going like, oh my God, I'm going to have to like.
Well, now listen to you guys.
Start, when they talk. Yeah.
Like I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, when they get to school and like, you know,
you said one is a biter.
Yeah, well, I used to bite my brother. So it's
genetic. Nice
and scratch. I used to scratch him too. Like, we would get into epic fights, my brother and I. He was 3 years old. He's 3 years older than me, but I was the boss, you know.
Right.
And, we used to fight a lot. But now my little boy, he just is a love bug. So he'll just go over and, like, want to cuddle Hayden.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he's, strong boy.
Right.
So he'll get her in a headlock and he'll be a bit rough. Mm-hmm. And she will just bite him. So
that's all she can do.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just animal instincts there.
Biting is a very effective tool to get people away from you.
It's true.
But I'm having to like stop that, you know? So
well, right, yeah.
Yeah. So
you're like, this works, but it's not ideal.
But it's,
next
yeah,
time
it's not
to
ideal.
Me and I don't want you to, I'm gonna bite me. You, okay. Just so you know.
Yeah, I don't want that happening at school. I actually got in preschool. This is the weirdest story. I don't fully remember it, but apparently I went into a cubicle and I was going to show him my boobs. I was like three or four, like probably four.
Right.
Wow.
And he bit me.
What?
On my boob.
Oops.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just toughening up your nipples.
Maybe. Yes.
That's what it was. Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's just what he had been told. Right.
Okay. Yeah. That was right. I mean, that's a normal thing.
But my mom told the story because she was so embarrassed for the little boy's parents because obviously, you know, my mum and dad, his dad got called up. And this little boy had bit me and I had like full teeth marks.
Right.
So mum's like, you know, she said the poor little boy's parents were mortified.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So I'm just like thinking, my gosh, that's going to happen. Like you're going to get called up to the school. I'm kind of like dreading all of that sort of stuff.
Right.
But I guess just being part of a parent and you just.
It is.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
we both had to visit the principal's
office. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, for sure. Sometimes like they're on the wrong side and sometimes I've like it's been that they've been on the right side and they've just been involved in something where I'm like, yes, I'm glad you know, whatever, stood up for yourself. But I feel like it was right around 2 years old, I started having the realizations of, oh no.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like when you bring babies home, you're like, they're babies and they're cute and they're oh, you know. And then they start getting older and like two hits.
Yeah.
And they become and the autonomy starts.
Yep. They're little people.
They're little people.
And you start realizing like, oh, they have their own opinions and thoughts and things. Yeah. And then you're like, and now I'm gonna have to have conversations with them.
Exactly.
And I can only imagine like having twins and being like, okay, not only now I have to have the boy conversations and the girl conversations at the same time.
But sort of separate to be privacy and boundaries. Yeah. And
right.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, they're sharing a room. They share a room.
Right. Yeah.
So they keep them in the same room. Yeah. But yeah, like listening to you guys and listening to my friends with older kids, I'm just like, oh my God, the conversations. And
oh, there are days that I've just shown up at her place and been like, I'm not going to make it.
You're going to make it, Kim. We have faith. You're going to be
fine. Me, maybe not. But yeah.
All my really close girlfriends are in Australia and they have, their kids are all around like 8 and
seven
kind of thing at school. And the stuff that my friends tell me about the whole schoolyard thing, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm not looking forward to this at all.
It's, you know, what's interesting though is I don't realize sometimes how much I forgot about growing up.
Yeah.
Until you have kids and you re-experience all those things over again, you're like, oh my shit, that's right.
All the different stages.
I forgot getting kicked at a handball, or I forgot the girls, you know, like doing this or every, like all of those things
you just sort of
moved on with your life. And you're like, oh, I'm so glad that's over. And you never really do it again. And then you have kids of your own. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. All the things that you like love, like kind of seeing through their eyes when they're this age. Like when you're showing Star Wars the first time. Not you, because you don't watch Star Wars, but me. You know, like that kind of stuff I was like super into. But now is the, you know, especially with the teen, where she like comes back and tells me like, you know, a boy doesn't like her and he's mean to her or whatever. And then I'm like, ugh, like it feels so. Yeah.
You feel everything.
Oh, like, totally. It makes me so sad. And all I ever think is like, how do I like toughen her up? And like, what do I don't know what to do. I'm always like, do you want some ice cream. Like, I don't, you know, I don't know what
well,
to
and
do.
Well, you and I, or before we started recording, we were having a conversation where she was like, I just wish she would trust me on and not have to do the same. And I said,
she's seen me go through already bad relationships.
But I, and divorced, I said, that's not how human beings work.
Yeah.
And I think every parent has the hope that their kid is not, is going to be the one human that goes, you know what? You're right. I'm not going to do any of the dumb things that you did. I'm going to just trust from your experience.
Yeah.
And no human being, I think, almost in the history of humanity has ever done that.
No.
Right. And if anything, they go, well, you did some dumb things, but I'm going to do it differently.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I remember my mom saying things that I say to her now.
My mom did the same thing, rolling my eyes
at my mom being like, you don't even understand. You know? I'm going to go listen to Sinead O'Connor.
I just tell them, I go, look, I know that you're not going to trust me on this and that you're going to think I'm an idiot and that I know fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's not true, but you're going to have to find out for yourself.
But we both, I think, do a nice job. And I have a feeling you're going to do the same because you're already being so honest and open and, here, which is a big deal.
That's all you can hope for is that they can feel like they can come to you and talk to you.
Right? Yep. And also realizing that there's going to be times when they don't.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I've got some great, friends that are, uncles and aunties. So I'm hoping that the kids can go to them if they don't want to come to.
We talk about that all the time.
I think it's important to have that because you are going to have moments where they're not going to want to come to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We've both had that happen.
Actually said that to B last night. B was having a meltdown. Last night was a big feeling night. I said, it's a full moon.
Yeah.
No wonder everyone, I'm having a moment. Like we were all, it was just a big, there's a lot of feelings.
Not bad feelings.
No, not bad things. Right. We all were like supporting each other, but I think we all just had various things. But she said something about family.
Mm-hmm.
And Zoe came in and said, she was like, no, you know how like we have Auntie Celia and we have, Auntie Emma and we have these other people in our lives. She was like, those are family too. And it made me really proud.
Oh, that's so sweet.
We try to do that a lot, I feel like. Well, it's funny because I used your post to talk to my kids about body image because we were having a weekend of body image stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the second I show them, they just go, that's just Auntie Jody. Like, that doesn't, like, she already knows us. Like, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
And I was like, well.
But that's how you know you're really family when suddenly your opinion just doesn't matter.
True. Great.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, you have to say that, Mom.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, actually, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have to be nice at all. I'm really trying here, buddy.
I was lucky because I had a lot of my dance teachers and singer teachers that were, you grew up with since, you were three. So you had all these people to talk to as role models.
I think extended family, friend relationships are super important.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So well,
true. I have a craptastic
parenting moment. Oh, you do have a craptastic parenting moment that sort of ties into what we were talking about.
It does. It's really bad.
It's you know what, though? This is the place where we share not only our successes, but our
failures.
It was a complete fail.
But you know it was a complete fail.
And I knew it in the minute I did it and I texted you, which usually I'll wait
and
until you hear.
What parenting is that you go like, I did that.
It
thing.
Did
that
leave. It led to a really good talk, so I will say that. But this is so I've mentioned before on the show. There's the new sort of trend of fashion. I don't always understand in the youth these days. Could not sound more like my
old
fucking grandmother.
Lady.
Yeah. But my oldest daughter Harper takes it. Yeah, get it. Harper takes it to a level. My 13-year-old of that. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, but she just puts on these outfits sometimes. I can't shut up. I have to learn to shut up. Like Jody's always like, just let her go out and look stupid. I'm like, but
I've seen the outfits that you wore in middle school. Let her go out and have those moments all on her own.
That's why, because it taps into something for me where I look at those outfits and I'm like,
Mom, these great
why
stories.
Did you let me wear those? I looked like Mike from Stranger Things when I was a kid.
She really
no
did.
Joke.
No way.
Oh, I'll show
oh
you a picture
really
side
gosh.
By side. My mom would cut my hair and brush it. So I was a disaster. And so, I have an I Love Boys hat that I would wear glasses and braces. Like I was so unbelievably ugly and I would just wear these.
You were not
outfits.
Ugly.
I was too. And it's okay.
Would you tell Mike from Stranger Things that? I don't think
so,
Celia.
He's lovely. And so anyway, Harper came into my room Saturday, wearing an outfit and it was these oversized jeans that she had pulled up to her rib cage, like almost under where her boobs would be. And then I'm not kidding, extra large, very, very bulky sweatshirt that was tucked in. And then a belt.
Oh.
So she looked insane and is standing there sideways, like looking and like looking in my mirror. And I was still lying in bed. I look at her and I go, what are you wearing? And she's like, what? It looks good. And I went, no, it really doesn't. And she was like, it does. And I go, Harper, I was like, seriously? I said, you are not fat. I just want to say that. I said, you look fat in that. Like, you got an extra large sweatshirt tucked into extra large pants and then belted around your waist. I was like, it looks crazy. And she was like, just pouting in front of the mirror. I go, seriously? I said, you do not want to wear that out. You look like you've got fupa. That's what I fucking said.
Oh, my gosh.
But wait, for those listeners that don't know, Celia, please tell us what a fupa is.
I don't want it.
It is a...
When have you... Wait.
What the fuck is happening right now? When have you ever...
Because I told my daughter that it looked like she had a fat upper pussy area.
That thing, it's the thing that happens, right.
When you're heavy. And so, of course, she gets really upset with me, also confused because she does not know what fupa is. She storms out of the room. I hear Lulu in the other room, my 8-year-old, go, what's fupa? I'm like, right away,
oh,
I just know.
No.
What's that? Right. Yeah. She's like, what is that? Harper, what did mom say fupa is? Right. She's got a lisp.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, and Harper goes in the closet and slams her door in her closet and won't come out. And I text Jody and I'm like, well,
she really just texts me. She goes, this is what I said. And I go, yeah, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, I was like,
oh,
was
great. No.
She's like, I know. I was like, okay. So Harper and I have this big talk. Like, she pouts for a half an hour. And then I'm like, how come you get to criticize every single thing I do?
Right?
Every thing I wear. Where she's like, mom, that's so lame. Don't wear that. So, but I say one thing to you, which was not that you're fat or you actually have fupa. I want to make it clear.
But the 3XL sweatshirt tucked into the giant boyfriend jeans and then belted around said sweatshirt makes you look like fucking Santa Claus.
You look insane.
Right.
Like, why was that bad? And then I will say it led to like a very big discussion about, it wasn't really about fupa. That happened later. And so, and then she was just like kind of, you know, crying and talked about, you know, being rejected by a guy. And that's really what it was.
That's what
and
it was.
Body image.
Right.
And that, you know, she just doesn't like
herself.
Did
you tell her that outfit's really not helping?
And I, believe me.
Like,
you're
maybe you laugh.
Horrible person.
I said that.
I was like, well, dressing like that's not going to help. But I 100% said it.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
But I mean,
it's not.
I get it.
You look crazy. Like, you look crazy. But then
I've seen those outfits before here too. And I'm like, is that?
Why?
So that's the choice? Okay. Well, that's the choice.
You're so good about that. And I was like, I have to shut up. And then I told her, I was like, you want to put it back on. And she's like, no,
well,
I don't want to have. Yeah. She's like, I don't want to have whatever you said I was going to have. So then I'm
I don't
getting
have FIFA.
Ready. Yeah, whatever it is. Then I hear them downstairs as I'm getting dressed, and they've clearly Googled it.
Oh my gosh.
They're hysterically laughing. And then Lulu runs upstairs to me and she goes, hey, mom, can I tell you something? And it's not that the human head weighs eight pounds.
Right.
And I go, what? And she goes, grandma had fupa. I went, oh, fuck.
Oh, my gosh.
Do not.
And by the way, Emily's writing that down.
Grandma has fupa.
Yep, grandma has fupa.
There we go. I said, do not ever say that to your grandmother. And if you do, say that you learned it from dad.
Is this grandma also your mother-in-law?
My ex-mother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Not my mom. Yep, my ex-mother-in-law.
Well, you just told the whole story on the podcast now. So all of that just went out the window.
I know. She wouldn't known it was me anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I think also you need to just start calling Lulu Mr. Lipnicki.
I know. He is. Well, didn't I say that once?
Well, yes, Mr. Lipnicki.
Did you ever watch Jerry Maguire? Have you ever seen Jerry Maguire?
Oh, yeah.
The little kid.
In
the
yes.
That's my daughter she's him in female form.
Oh, my gosh.
Just like,
yeah.
Personality-wise.
Weighs 8 pounds.
Yeah. She'll just come out and tell you like random facts out of nowhere.
Mom.
Like,
that's adorable.
Yeah, we make fun of her all the time. So but she'll start something.
I think we should just call her, yes, Mr. Lipnicki.
Yep.
That's it.
That's her her Disney Plus ID.
Is Mr. Lipnicki?
Is Mr. Lipnicki.
Fantastic.
Like, yeah, she's like, I know what that means.
I'm like,
Oh yes. My gosh, you guys are scaring me. Yeah.
Well, then our job here is done.
Then that means we've reached the end of an episode.
Emily is already never going to have children because of us. We talk about it all the time.
Right. Emily's just like, they're gross. Kids are gross. We're like, yeah, they are.
We said that.
If you've never changed an infant's diaper and they have shot poop across a room, you haven't lived.
You just haven't lived.
A baby's never thrown up on your face.
Right.
Then you don't know what life is. Yeah, we joke with Emily that we're a different kind of birth control. We like to call ourselves Plan C.
But
hang out with us.
Right.
But you're already in it, so too late for you. Yeah. You're welcome.
No, but thank you so much for joining us, Kim.
We loved hearing your
version of motherhood and what it's been and body image and FUPA and so many things that we've learned today, as we do here. Never thought I'd say this. And if you too would like to share your stories about talking to your kids
about FUPA,
about body image, about failed really shitty things that you've said about body image, or really any craptastic parent fails, parent successes, we'd love to hear those too. We like to know that other people are getting it right. I guess it's not us. So please reach out to us. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Never Thought I'd.
Say this is what the
God damn it. I got it right last week.
Well, you didn't this week. At Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram and Facebook at Never Thought I'd at protonmail.com. Right? Is that what it is?
Yeah. All
right. That's our email.
Obviously, don't look at me.
I don't know. I don't know what Twitter. We don't know. Just whatever. Find us on Twitter somewhere.
Yeah.
We couldn't help you with that.
Or, whoever that idiot is that has your old name.
Or just follow anybody.
But find us Instagram, Facebook, email. Send us your messages. Don't send us your messages. Send us pictures. I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
Be careful with sending us pictures.
I don't need a lot of pictures of FUPA, but I have a feeling that we might get some.
Great. Thanks for opening up that.
Like it wasn't already open. So remember, you guys, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.